Greetings, geeks. Welcome to episode 833 of Geeks in Space. I'm still Rob Commander Taco Malda, and I am joined, as usual, in pretend low Earth orbit by Chris DeMona.
Hi.
Rob Roseboom.
Hello.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Yeah, all right.
Yammer. Friends.
Friend.
All right, well, the first thing I got on the list is Ryan Gosling is apparently signed on for, I didn't realize that it was going to be a Lord and Miller production.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
For Project Hail Mary.
And from the same script writer for The Martian, you know?
I kind of don't know that this is their wheelhouse as directors. But I kind of feel like this is not utilizing their skills.
Yeah.
I feel like they are like,
yeah, because Spider-Verse, you know, the people who made that, they can only make that movie.
So if you look at their work in general, they generally play pretty wacky. 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street. I really like both of those movies. Yeah. Two of my favorites.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Lego movie. I mean, these guys, all animated though. Although I will say the After Party was really fun. You know, the first season, I haven't seen the second season
yet. The second season isn't as good. Those are guys who go big. I didn't think of this as a go big story. It's got an epic thing around it, but so much of it is just a character stuck in a box. It's a bottle episode.
They're also doing Bobaverse, so I guess they're going for the singular loner talking to himself. After The Martian was basically a singular loner talking to himself while people on Earth mess around, you know.
But that was what? Was Ridley Scott? Did he direct that one?
Oh, I don't remember. But it was the same screenwriter, so it's like, okay.
I guess I want to feel them.
Ridley Scott, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see Lord and Miller swing big. This
might be the thing they have to swing big on then, you know?
So this is really close to the Adam Sandler thing that just came out a few months ago.
Spaceman? Yeah. It's very different. Project Hail Mary. I mean, when he starts interacting with the character later in the
it's so mission, different.
You know,
it's so different. Come on, Chris.
It's very different.
To my reading of the book, I felt like that whole segment was more of an intimate thing. Like this is a dude, like at the end of his rope, like really isolated and cut off from everything, and all this weird shit is happening. I don't know. I wouldn't have picked Lord and Miller for that half of the story, but they're two of my favorite. They're like my favorite directing team right up there. There ain't a lot of more talented folks out there. I guess I just want to see them be more epic, but that's me. Speaking of epic, you ever try to debug hardware from 48 hour with a 48 hour latency?
I thought it had already left the solar system. That's pretty tough.
So this is Voyager 1 again, as usual. Yep. They got engineering connection to it again. And this story is actually fun because apparently they've determined that one of the chips in the system is bad. Or I don't know what you put in a 1970s ship. But because of this, there's like a hole in their memory that they can't use. So they had to recode... a bunch of stuff to not use, like this chunk of code that went through this broken area of memory. They had to recode it to route around this bad chunk of memory. But in theory, they're gonna get that thing working again somehow.
Okay.
I think that's neat.
Yeah.
Anybody who can debug something with 48 hours of latency deserves all the medals.
Here we go. Look at that. There's a memory board from
1975.
It's crazy.
72. It's on the plaque.
That's one of the command control system, the computer command system. Goodness gracious.
Well, good for those guys. They're getting it back, man. We're going to get another pay. We're not going to.
Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you? How much memory does the Voyager have in that computer? 4K? No, it's more than that.
Oh, that's good.
70 kilobytes.
You can do a lot with 70 kilobytes.
You could fit Mario in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
The original software for the Voyager Pros was written using Fortran 5 and ported to Fortran 77. And today, there's some porting in C. Low-level, lightweight software is increasingly important as the probes move further and further away from the Earth. Sure.
Right. Hey, you know where it's bad to be, to have a mutated virus show up or a mutated drug-resistant bacteria?
Where's that?
The International Space Station.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We know what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that movie.
Movies. Yeah.
That was a Ryan Reynolds movie, right? Where they got like a mutated virus strain on the International Space Station.
Blade Trinity?
Yep, Blade Trinity.
Yeah.
I hope this is the one. Oh, actually, that one's kind of fun.
It is.
Yeah. We all like Jason X. Yeah.
I hope this is the one where one of them turns into a space vampire.
So Blade.
What Ryan Reynolds movie is this you're speaking of?
I think it's Ryan Reynolds, like bio something or like, I don't know, space virus.
Are you thinking about the one where they have this alien that they get that's like a little amoeba and it grows up and kills everything? Yeah, that's
it's called Life.
Yeah, that's about an alien, not a virus.
It starts off little, doesn't it? I guess I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in like 5 years. I thought it started off as like a bacteria.
You know, it's just like that Adam Sandler movie, Spaceman.
It's just like Spaceman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harvey Specimen. that actually reminds me, because Specimen is from 30 Rock, which is a Tina Fey show. We just started watching Girls 5 Eva, which is another Tina Fey show. I did not know that this was a Tina Fey show. And I have seen now a fair number of her works, and I enjoy that. But this show, Girls 5 Eva, is really quickly paced. Like the same thing as Kimmy Schmidt. Like the jokes per minute rate is really high for those shows. And that's, I don't care or anything, but like, I feel like if I laugh, I'm going to miss the next joke. A lot of pressure. Anyway, there's a mutated strain of drug resistant bacteria on the space station. This is going to be fine.
Sure.
It's fine. They can just, open the airlock, let it out.
Yeah,
you know, like if you have a fly in your house and you're like, can't catch them, you're like, well, I'm just going to open the door and let them fly out. Or if you had a pigeon in your airport.
Yep. I got a bat just in my house one time. It's kind of like that.
You just need lots and lots of fly paper.
Yeah.
Chances are a bunch of it would get stuck there.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I imagine they have fly paper on the space station, right? Sure. Why not? To attract all the insects and frogs and mosquitoes, and bacteria.
Maybe, or maybe as punishment for like when a crew member acts up, they just stick them to the fly tape wall.
Well, no, that's how they go to sleep. You know, they're like, I'm going to take a break. You know, it's easier than a whole thing.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Rob,
I mean, the ISS is getting on in years, right? So they use the fly paper to fix the cracks in the Russians' Vetsia. So that's module,
They're popping a module off like every couple of weeks now.
In fact, I heard the last cargo shipment was basically a bunch of Factor heat up meals and some fly paper.
If you can't fix it with expanding foam and duct tape, it's not worth fixing, gentlemen.
I don't know if y'all watch these channels just rolled in. It's about mechanics and what the customer says as they bring their cars in, and they're like, what did you do to your car? And I swear to God, like for the last 6 months, at least one, maybe two, sometimes three of the little segments, because they'll show like 10 or 15 crazy car stuff. Like one of them's like somebody shot their car and they're surprised it's not working as well. And then there's the person who decided to fix something with expanding foam. And I'm like, no, they're so good though. They're so much fun. I'm going to find them.
All right. I'll watch this sort of thing.
Just rolled in. It's a great channel. Honestly. Honestly.
All right, then.
There you go. I'll paste it in the general.
There you go. When you go for walks with your kids just pick stuff up, right?
Well, they lick the escalator rails. Yeah, they pick little. Things up, put it in their mouth, their
kids,
ear.
Little kids are really stupid.
Well, they're kind of dumb, but they also, this is how they build up their immune system.
That's true. You know? That's true. But this kid apparently, what, found a rock? Or found a jaw?
Well, yeah.
He found a piece of a jawbone. Oh, it wasn't right. Like there's a like half a skull in his rock box. You know, it was a piece of
I thought this was the story about the person who found a jawbone in their travertine tile. Did you see that one?
No. There's two jawbone stories today?
Wow, this is a busy week for jawbones.
I mean, not for think nothing. Think about, you know.
Every jawbone expert in the world is just itching to get on some local television right
now. Yeah, here, I'll paste it in chat.
So jawbone expert number three is like, oh, man, Joe got on CNN and Frank got on MSNBC, but nobody's contacting me.
Yeah, let me open this image up. Yeah, so it was a piece of travertine tile, and a dentist had travertine tile installed in this bathroom, and he looks up and he's like, that's a jawbone. So.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of
sure enough.
That's kind of messed up.
You know, I mean, tens of thousands of years old, I guess, but
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Good for that guy. That guy's got the best.
I mean, yeah.
And dentist. He's a dentist?
Yeah, he's a dentist. So of course he recognized
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Now you charge double to have your teeth done in the tooth theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From a quarry in Turkey. So that's a Turkish jawbone, not a turkey. Jawbone, which is different because that would be an avian fowl, like a beak, right?
Right.
Yeah. Although I'm sure people have found beaks in travertine, right? Sure.
Sure. Well,
the tile came from a quarry in the Denizli basin in western Turkey, where the stone had previously been dated to 1.8 million to 0.7 million years ago. I mean, yeah. That's a 700 million year old cavity right there. He's got to fill.
This kid, they turned the bone in, and they did DNA on it, and they discovered it's from some old bomber who had gone missing. Identified who it was. Yeah.
Yeah, they did genetic testing on it.
Whoa, that's pretty cool. Around,
hey, does this look like anybody you
know? Hey, is this your Uncle Carl's jaw?
No, it looks a little like tell. Frank. Hey, Joe.
Jaeger.
That's a weird one. I like that they say it's not clear how the jawbone ended in Arizona, but it's possible that a bird picked it up in California.
Big bird, man.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of thing that you raise as the Hail Mary defense in the trial. What if a bird carried this bone across America, Your Honor? Plausible deniability?
Yeah.
Reasonable doubt. There you go. That's
well, I think. Good. I think the reality is, it's the kid who did it.
Yeah.
Right.
Murder kid.
Or a hyper cloud.
He went back in time to 1951. Oh. Just saying, he's a time traveling kid.
10,000 ravenous monarch butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. And then he wakes up with no arms.
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't that's how the monarchs do you.
Isn't that what happened in that movie? Ashton Kutcher wakes up with no arms.
I think that was one of the effects, right?
One of the butterfly effects.
Yeah. The thing is, they remade that movie, and they remade the skulls like four times. Same plot, same dialogue, somewhat different actors, usually the same actors. I'm like, what are you doing? Why is Ashton Kutcher making the same movie three times in a row? It's very strange. I think he was jealous of Devon Sawa doing Final Destinations 1 through 9,000 or whatever. Anyway. But yeah,
fair enough. Rob, I saw this story too, and I didn't know what to make of the Belgian man who his body apparently makes alcohol like naturally.
I share this simply because this I watch a lot of procedural medical dramas.
I think I've seen this in a house or something.
This has been in House. It has been in The Good Doctor and New Amsterdam. It's been in three different medical shows where someone had this condition.
Autobrewery syndrome.
It was just funny to me that I finally saw it in real life.
It's an actual thing.
Yep. So well, he makes alcohol in his body naturally, which makes him blow extremely high.
Yeah. He's employed by a brewery. You know.
That doesn't help either.
No. Well, maybe it was the cause too. Who knows? You know, I there's a snack called a Twiglet in Britain, and it's basically brewer's yeast and other stuff on like pretzels, and it's pretty tasty. Maybe he was just super addicted to those.
Maybe.
You know, and he ended up over yeasting.
Over I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm just over yeasting.
I'm not drunk. Yeasting I'm fully today. Yeast.
Yeah.
I'm just proofing right now. I'm not drunk. I'm just proofing.
Just proofing.
Your wife is mostly just hops. My children, my son Barley.
I'm on the malt diet, you know.
The malt diet. Gross.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, the last one that I have on the list is the latest Deadpool and Wolverine trailer.
Yes, I saw that.
Which might have the single weirdest little inside joke.
What, the Liefeld's foot?
Yeah.
Liefeld's feet, yeah.
Yeah, that was very clever.
That is clever.
Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, time. Maybe you can dig up. Liefeld is notoriously not that great of an artist, like on the list of comic
And he puts
artists.
Muscles on muscles. He was the first one to do a 16 pack on somebody, you know? Yeah,
like he's got a very exaggerated style. Anatomy is not necessarily his strong suit. He's kind of like, you know, at the end of Superbad, where there's just a bunch of comics of like, I think it's Jonah Hill's character who just likes to draw dicks. Yeah. Liefeld.
Yeah. Feet. Just feet.
Liefeld is kind of like the kid who just draws lots of dicks, but like just decided, okay, I'll draw superheroes and got as good as he needed to get. But like, he's still super exaggerated, like in a very childish way. And I got no problem with that. I guess I've read pretty much all of Deadpool up into the mid aughts. But there's websites where you can read criticism of his art, and
it's so funny.
The running gag is, and if you Google for like Liefeld feet, there's just hundreds of pictures. Like, whatever, nobody's looking at the feet. I'm not going to spend any time drawing feet, so his feet just look stupid. Like, they don't like line up with things or the wrong.
He spends no time on them.
No, and you know, there's something to be said of that. You got to write, you got to draw, you know, 20, 30 pages of your comic book. People look at eyes, they look at muscles, they don't look at the feet. So don't spend your time there. You can't all be Jack Kirby. And Jack Kirby had some weird drawing styles too. But anyway, the trailer looks bonkers.
Yeah.
The word that keeps going around is that it's going to be a cameo fest. And it's just going to basically be...
Which would be almost too bad. That actually, you can do it too much, you know?
You can, but Deadpool is the one place where you should, I guess. I don't know. Deadpool is pretty out there in terms of, like, talking to the reader, that kind of stuff. The fourth wall breaking. That's just been the nature of the character right back to the beginning. So this is the one character where you can do that. Like, have you ever read any Gwenpool?
No.
Gwenpool does a lot of similar stuff, but like Gwenpool goes and gets in fights in the the space between the panels, and like will comment on that, like meet me over here in the space between the panels, like that kind of stuff, like very aware of the media within which the character exists. So the other joke that they're doing there that I like is referencing that Feige won't let him talk about cocaine, and then they proceed to talk about cocaine.
Yeah.
Repeatedly, which is good.
Do you want to build a snowman? No.
No. That's the one thing Feige said we're not allowed to do.
Yeah.
I'm all in. I was looking at the list of movies that are coming out this summer, and that's just about the only movie that I'm actually looking forward to, which is really depressing for the post-writer strike summer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even like the last year before COVID, where I would looked at like the, you know, the 3 months or whatever summer blockbuster seasons, like every single weekend there is something I would like to see. And I don't know that I can say that this summer more than a couple of times. Guess either I'm old or maybe movies suck now.
Have you seen Civil War yet?
No, I might try to see that tomorrow.
Okay.
And Fall Guy looks fun.
Eh.
But like, yeah, it just meh, looks
fine. I mean, the TV show was fine.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah, I think it's based on the TV show.
Oh, is it? I thought it was an original story about a stunt.
No. No, I think that it's got you with the same character names, right?
After I refer to our discussion this morning in the wider channel about new ideas in Hollywood.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
There aren't any.
Oh, God. Yeah, Colt Seavers. Yeah. This is from the TV show.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I watched last night, which is, I know is good, but I...
$6 Million Man?
Yep, I watched the sequel, the $6.2 Million Man.
Well, when you adjust it for inflation, yeah.
I watched Harold and Maude.
Oh, really?
I haven't watched that.
With Cat Stevens and all that?
So much Cat Stevens.
It's like the Cat Stevens album, you know?
It's like the Cat Stevens greatest hits. I had not seen that movie since college, I think. And I very much enjoyed it. And I highly recommend it. Is there any other media that gentlemen would like to recommend on this fine afternoon?
I finished Fallout.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'm still stalled on episode 3. Christy and I are going to start back up tonight or tomorrow. So, yeah. Was it worth the whole run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I especially like the way they wrap things up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe a little bit cheesy. But to be honest with you, the person I had the problem with the most going through it was the ghoul, to tell you the truth, because it just... Everyone else had a neat little twist about them and was very interesting, and he seemed completely one-dimensional, I'm going to be a bad shoot-up guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I felt like there's something missing between his backstory and his present day.
Yeah, for sure. And they kind of address part of that at the end, but I didn't mind him at the end.
Yeah. I agree with you. There's something missing between, like, I get why he had some bad things happen in the backstory, but it doesn't necessarily, like, I don't see the dotted line between what happens in his character revelations to who the ghoul is today.
Yeah. The other criticism I have of it is, having played a lot of Fallout, I loved all of the little call outs to the game.
So many call outs. Like going back to Fallout 1, man. It's crazy. Yeah,
great. Great. But if you don't know Fallout, a lot of that stuff gets missed.
Well, you know, Christine doesn't know it very well, so she just enjoyed the main story, though.
Yeah. You know? I don't know how engaging all those things would be. If you don't know
I think they did a really good job in keeping them background material, you know, just like in the background. So if you played the games, you're like, oh my God, they have that thing. Oh my God.
Some of the plot lines, though, get into some of the plot lines from the Fallout games.
Really? Do they talk about the Scientologists or whatever? Spaceologists? Okay, I won't say any word. Yeah.
I only played half of Fallout 4. I don't have, like, the only things that I know from the lore or whatever is I played the Fallout Shelter game a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's a pretty fun game.
Yeah, it's a fine game.
Hubology.
They actually released like a little bonus quest line for the release of the TV show. So I actually played through that and unlocked all of the characters from the TV show in my Fallout Shelter. So they're training their agility right now. You know, because that's what you do. You live forever in the vault, in the Rob world. I liked it a lot, but I didn't, like, I was aware of the world, but I'm not stooped in it. So from that position, it just felt really consistent to me. Like, the rules are established, things make sense. It's not like anybody is walking around, like, you know, nobody suddenly is showing up with telekinesis. You know, like, the world is sort of established how it works. They're not like, I don't feel like people are getting superpower creep. And those are the sorts of things that plague a TV show where the writers are kind of just shooting from the, with the gun still in the holster. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, all right, season two, everybody can fly now. Things like that, you know, like Westworld is the perfect example of just like, you didn't know what you were doing. So every season you just throw a bunch of stuff out there and
it works some of pretty it well, works. But
boy. Yeah, I will say though, the ghoul gets a little bit, you know, overpowered, a little bit ridiculous. He's basically a juggernaut who can't be stopped.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little bit like, oh, so that isn't really how the game is.
He's a boss level. He's a boss character. Yes. He can be awesome, sure. I guess. Is there anything else upcoming? It's a real dead news.
Oh, Ungentlemanly Warfare.
What's that?
Have you seen this? It's Henry Cavill.
Oh.
The first secret, you know, wow, organization.
That auto-completed like in two letters.
But it's got it's done by Guy Ritchie, so you know, it'll be stylish, you know.
I did see this, but
kind of looking forward to that. It is in theaters. Yes.
Well, it would be nice to see Henry Cavill be in a movie for more than 10% of a movie that he's getting given high billing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really liked Argylle for what it is.
It was fine.
It's a popcorn movie. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, a little silly.
I'm a fan of the popcorn movie, to be quite honest. I'll sit down and enjoy it and not think too hard about it if that's what you ask of me. And it was that. All right. Then let's say goodbye unless somebody's got something exciting to share.
No, I'm a dull person.
Goodbye, Chris DeBona.
Bye.
Goodbye, Rob Roseboom.
Goodbye.
That was episode 833 of Geeks in Space. I was Rob Commander Taco Mulder. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.